Today we're going to talk about an important and timely conversation. It's about cultural representation and respect in literature. And it's been sparked by the recent controversy surrounding Jamie Oliver's children's book, Billy and the Epic Escape. Elizabeth Smythe is a research associate from James Cook University, been writing about it. Elizabeth, welcome to Drive.
Oh, hello, Warren. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very excited to be a part of your show.
Thank you. We're looking forward to chatting with you. Now, to set the scene, Elizabeth, Jamie Oliver's book featured a First Nations Australian character, but it was criticised for being culturally insensitive. The backlash led to the book being pulled from sale. What went wrong here, and why has it sparked such a strong reaction?
Okay, so before I just answer that question, can I first just pay my respects to the people, First Nations people, where I live and work, the Irriganji, Jabbagai and Gimoi Wallabara Yidinji, and also to your First Nations listeners. And I want to just point out that I'm bringing to this conversation the non-Indigenous perspective. So I won't be speaking for First Nations people, but as you know, they're a lot of First Nations writers have made their views very well known, so I'm happy to point to those views. And so to answer your question, there was, I guess, three major things wrong with this chapter in this children's story, and they're to do with the misuse of Aboriginal languages, they're to do with, magical realism, which has had a problem in the long before this book came out, and also just his representation or the way that he chose to characterise this person, this young girl, as being stolen. And that resonates with people who've lived through and have knowledge and experience of and effects of that stolen generation. So there's a lot of things in here that caused a huge reaction from people like Janine Lane, Anita Heiss, Cheryl Levy, and the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Education Corporation.
Jamie Oliver, continue.
Yeah, I'm happy to talk more on any of these things, I suppose, but I'm just wanting to take this opportunity to get people to please read Indigenous self-representation. Think of authors like Alexis Wright, Melissa Lukashenko, Kim Scott, and you can easily just find good quality books that you want from university presses. University of Queensland Press, for example, prides itself on publishing First Nations writers, and Giramondo is a publisher that's supported Alexis Wright. So there's lots of works out there for people to learn from, and even works if they want to learn about history, people who might be new to this country and not familiar with the colonial history of Australia, have a look at books by Henry Reynolds. His book Forgotten War, more recent book called Truth Telling, and Peter Sutton's The Politics of Suffering. They're just a couple of writers to begin with. So there's lots out there for people to get up to speed on why this is such an issue.
Elizabeth, Jamie Oliver has apologised, but I suppose the damage has already been done once the book is out there, it's been written. What are the broader implications of such missteps when it comes to children's literature?
Oh, it's huge. I guess we've got to appreciate that Jamie Oliver's got this celebrity status, so he's got a lot of power and privilege that comes with that. Not everyone who wants to write a children's book will get it out there. And there are children's books written by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australian writers. But there's a question too about who will get those out on the table, who's got the most marketing power, who are the teachers that might get the children to read those books in a classroom, and which ones are they going to choose? So there's a whole lot of different things that come into this as to how impactful that will be. And I should say that it's been pulled from the shelves in the UK and Australia, but this book might well be available in other places. So people have already bought it, no doubt.
Mm. Elizabeth, if non-Indigenous writers, if they do want to include First Nations characters or some themes in their work, A, is it appropriate? And B, what should they consider if they do want to do that?
Well, one of the things that Janine Lane has said, and that I agree, is to first of all think about why you want to do that. Now, if you think that you want to go and fix a problem that First Nations people are facing, you have to ask yourself, who's best placed to do that work and why would it be you? So it might well be that, and often, let's say, that the role is really for First Nations writers as the best people to do that work. Non-Indigenous writers can play a role, but they need to leave some spaces in their work and in the literary environment or ecology for First Nations writers to tell their own stories and to represent things how they feel it should be done.
Do you feel like there's if someone's in a position of being famous or of privilege, that there's a more effective way of raising awareness of Indigenous issues other than writing characters in a book?
Yeah, there are. And what it has to begin with is building a long-term and permanent relationship with Indigenous people that's based on trust and respect. That's the starting place. And through that, then it becomes more clear as to what role that the non-Indigenous people might be able to play. And there's no doubt that there are non-Indigenous writers, particularly of non-fiction, like I said, Henry Reynolds, a historian, who have been very important in raising awareness of the history of this country and giving support, I suppose, to people being understood. But it's, that's through, like I said, these close relationships that are built on trust and respect, and they're not just short-term transactional. And I think the thing with Jamie Oliver is that his publisher, it's a huge enterprise. It's not just him. It's a whole lot of people, a big commercial thing. You know, they're in this to make some money. There's no question on that. And that's, in the history of Australia, that's a problem that Indigenous people have constantly, their culture continuously since colonisation been appropriated and exploited. So, of course, it's those relationships that really matter.
How influential are children's books, and therefore how important is it that we get it right at this level?
I think we all know, I'm not a children's author myself, but I think we all know that children are sponges. They take up information very quickly. Whatever we learn in our childhood really stays with us for a long time. And so we invest a lot through education in schools to educate children. So we need to invest also in having conversations like this so that the materials that they're accessing and that they're that are appropriate, that are considerate of others, and that are going to not harm particular groups of people who might be, who in this country are a minority in their own country.
Hmm. Would it have been okay for Jamie Oliver to have consulted Indigenous people and got them to tell their story and then include it in the book?
Well, that's not for me to say. That's for whoever he speaks to. That's for First Nations people to decide how they think about that relationship. But it has to come from the First Nations people first. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people need to say, be in control, I guess, is the bottom line.
We're chatting with
and
Elizabeth.
If they say,
sorry, Elizabeth, continue.
I was going to say, if they say no, then, you know, people have to listen.
Elizabeth, yeah. What would you say, I suppose, to aspiring writers, whether they be Indigenous or non-Indigenous, what would you say to them who want to contribute to reshaping Australian literature? What would be your advice?
Well, do your homework for a start. Read to begin with. Lots of Indigenous self-representation, and there's lots of those works out there. To read the history of the country. These things change your worldview. They change how you think about things. And, you know, that's homework, that's work, but it needs to be done. And the other thing is to, you know, two other things. Getting to know Indigenous people firsthand is important, but keep in mind too that you can't expect one person to embody the entire diversity of Indigenous Australia. And it's a bit of a burden on that person too, if you take that point of view. So it's not easy. There needs to be a lot of homework and research and reading done. There needs to be contact and relationships over a long period of time built up with Indigenous people, and listening, lots of listening, and also have some, you know, if writers are going to publish their works, then having First Nations people read their works is going to be very, very important.
Elizabeth, great.
So it's not,
sorry?
Yeah. It's not out of bounds, but there's a lot of work to be done.
Great to chat with you, and it's an important conversation to have as well. So thank you so much for joining us today on Drive.
Thank you, Warren. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Elizabeth Smythe, a research associate at James Cook University.